Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, this week's Real Sports Talk Radio brought to you by our friends over at the Connecticut School of Broadcasting. Ever want to broadcast shows, get into TV, social media, or even journalism? Go to csbgo.com. csbgo.com for the Connecticut School of Broadcasting. Check them out now, but for now, enjoy the show. The new edition of Real Sports Talk Radio hitting your airwaves. Thanks for the download this week. You can download us every single week, whether it's sportspage.com, blogtalkradio.com, or it's out on iTunes. Flying solo this week, my name is Randy Zellier, your host with the most. I have a one-man entourage, and that's me. My entourage consists of my limo driver, my accountant, my work-study friend, and everybody else, which is all the person, which is me. So thanks very much for giving me a download. I really appreciate it. Tonight, interesting guests. We have David Tyree, the former New York Giants Super Bowl hero. Spoke with him earlier in the week. We'll hear that interview fairly shortly. Tim Galligan from Giants360.com joins me as well, as we're going to talk a little bit of the, about the New York Football Giants. We're going to jump into the NBA Finals a little bit too. But real quick, let's just really quickly pay some bills here, do some plugs, and take care of everybody. First off, if you want to follow me on Twitter at RandyBSP. I'll answer all your questions, give you hate mail. I'll answer any NBA questions you want to throw at me that we were all at. Great feature written by Nick Singleton. Also, don't forget to check out all of the Back Sports Page podcasts that I post every single week. Seth and Sean Sports every Monday, the best two guys in New York City breaking down the world of sports with you. You want to get your hockey and football fix. You got to go with Ryan Stern on Beyond the Benches every Tuesday night. Of course, I was from Real Sports Talk Radio here every Wednesday, where you take a break for you on Thursday. Then on Friday, you have From the Touchline with Todd Schrauber and his soccer crew. And then on Sundays, we have On Hiatus, Under the Hoodies with Bill Deagle. So with that being said, now that we got the plugs out of the way, thank everybody for, again, hitting the download button this week. This week's show, again, brought to you by our good friends at the Connecticut School of Broadcasting, csbgo.com. You want to break into the world of radio, TV, social media, or journalism, go to csb.com for more details, for you, for location information, tuition information, all information you need at csbgo.com. Also, nflshop.com, training camp is right around the corner. Get your fan gear for your favorite team, whether it's t-shirts, hats, jerseys, or novelty items with your team's logo on it, nflshop.com. Go there. Tell them we sent you. Go to the Back Sports page, click on the NFL Shop link, and, you know, you'll contribute to us, and you contribute to the NFL if they need more money to us, and we, you know, it keeps these podcasts free for you guys every single week. So we always appreciate you, you know, giving back. Same thing with 1-800-Flowers.com. Just in case you don't know, I listened to this show before. We are very big fans of 1-800-Flowers.com. Mike and Jose have used 1-800-Flowers.com to help their sweethearts out a little bit in the past. You can go there, 1-800-Flowers.com. Click on the button that's on our website. Go there, and you can save a few bucks from your wallet. You help us out at the same time. You know, we do our thing, you do your thing, and of course, last plug. Of course, go to our website, backsportspage.com. Click on the Amazon button. Do your shopping through us over at Amazon.com. Do it there. So where to start with me this week? I'm going to be a little upfront, honest with you. I've been NBA Finals heavy for the last couple of days with everybody who would listen to me. And I'll be honest with you, the Golden State Warriors, they're going to win the series. Okay? It's LeBron and company, LeBron and the four sensations or the four backup singers, are not going to be able to keep this up for much longer. I'm not calling them backup singers whatsoever. The team, you know, Cleveland is beat up. No Kyrie, no Kevin Love, no Andrew Varejao. Kemba Shumpert's pretty much, you know, playing with his arm in a sling. Deladova, was in the hospital this past week. Right after last night's game, he went to the hospital. And LeBron sort of, took his ankle a little bit after that dunk on that alley-oop. But, you know, that's not a big deal. But, look, the team's not healthy, okay? You can only stop Steph Curry for so long. I think there's going to be a lot of momentum going into game four with Stephen Curry playing the way he did. There's a lot of strategies. Let's put out on the Warriors' perspective first. Look, you were in all three games so far. You won the first one. You lost the second one in overtime, and you lost last night after a great comeback in the fourth quarter. With that being said, you were there, okay? Steph Curry, who's had awful, awful, awful games, finally came alive last night and almost took the team on his back and came back and won the game last night. If it wasn't for a miraculous play by Deladova, I'm just going to start calling him Deli, because I can't pronounce, pretty much hit a wild shot, puts it up four, makes it a four-point game. There was a controversial call, which wasn't really a controversial call, because you can't touch the ball when you're out of bounds, deflect the ball, and pull the guy, and pull Deli out of bounds, like Clay Thompson. So it really wasn't a controversial call. The refs got it right. And then all of a sudden, the Cavs were able to put things away. I think the Warriors found something with David Lee. I think they're going to be able to sort of bounce back a little bit. Their backs are against the wall. I'll be honest with you. They go down 3-1, they're not coming back. Cleveland is tired. The Warriors need to push the tempo. I like David Lee in this system. Use him in the high post. Let him be the ball moving guy who can find a way. Keep moving the ball around and be able to put this game in a sense of where you're going to be able to be play your strength, move the ball. If you're going to have to run four screens and keep Deladova away from Curry, it's going to be an interesting night. Now, from a defensive side for the Warriors, you switch your strategy on LeBron James. LeBron James, who's had the best finals history of the NBA, you switch your strategy. I think you originally said we're not going to double LeBron, let him score the points, we'll just stop everybody else. If you stop putting pressure on LeBron James, start doubling LeBron James, I'd rather let Dele hurt you. I'd rather let J.R. Smith hurt you and Amon Shumpert. Let those role players try and beat you. I think that's the best bet. I think that's the best bet to do this. And, it's going to be hard to do, and it's going to be hard to expect LeBron James to keep his face up. It's not fair to him. It's not right. It's not going to really happen. So I think that we're now at a point where it's going to be interesting to see if the Warriors would make that type of adjustment. I think they should. That's it. From a Cleveland standpoint, look, it's not for nothing. LeBron's doing the right thing. He's slowing down the pace. He's pretty much doing the on-roll coaching thing. And everything's going through him. He can't really get that much of a rest. I've been the firm believer that this Cleveland team should not be shooting a lot of jump shots. The interior defense of Golden State is not strong. I would be attacking the paint as much as I can. You're either going to get hit and go to the free throw line, or you're going to be getting a lot more easy layups. I do think LeBron needs to trust his teammates a little bit more. Move the ball. Give them the opportunity to move the ball. And you can have guys move without the ball so you can cut and turn the ball over. Amon Shumpert making awful passes. J.R. Smith in game two, three awful fouls at the end of the game, which set the game to overtime. I think, as many mistakes Cleveland has made, they can correct those and take a 3-1 series lead. It's been real interesting to see how this whole thing plays out. I'm really looking forward to tomorrow night. Should be a lot of fun. Game three, I'll be watching. This is my favorite time of the year. She's going to join us right now, and I appreciate her taking a few minutes of her time. Jackie, well, how are the hot streets of Vegas today?
Oh, it's actually quite nice. It's a little bit, it's warm, but it's a little bit overcast, so it's not blazing in your face hot.
Well, that's good to hear. I appreciate you giving me a quick few minutes before we jump into football. We're talking NBA Finals here. I wanted to throw a couple things at you. You're just as into this as I am, and I just made the suggestion of maybe LeBron needs to have a little bit more trust in his teammates and not dominate the ball as much as he has. I'm not saying the ball shouldn't be in his hands, because it's obviously it shows it's been successful to this point. I think if you move the ball around a little bit more, it'll not only give him a break, but also will make some of the other guys on his team agree or disagree at this point.
Well, he does have a monumental amount of assists going right now. So it's hard to say, you know, how much is too much at this point or how little is too little. Obviously, they're getting the job done, you know, with what he's doing right now. So, you know, do they stick with that game plan or do they spice it up and change it up a little bit, because eventually Golden State's going to get their number. I'm convinced of that. You know, but Kobe Bryant did say the perfect wording that we all are thinking. Golden State's playing like there's going to be another game, and sooner or later there's just not going to be another game. So they need to get their act together. But, yeah, I think LeBron does need to switch up a bit in changing things in terms of, you know, not too many assists, not too much passing, be a little bit more selfish, because he is fairly unstoppable for what it's worth, you know. And if he gets 30, 40 points a night, or, you know, even if he gets 20, they're still managing to hang on every single night, 9-9 out. So it just depends, I think, on the night. If he's feeling it, go with it. Take the shot. If he's not and he's a little bit cold, pass it off. Everybody seems to be able to pick up the slack for him. So it's just a matter of how hot his hand happens to be that night, I think.
I agree with that. And some of the other adjustments that from both perspectives, obviously Cleveland still has a lot to improve on. Those last couple minutes of the game last night, they almost gave it away. There was a couple different errors and a couple different mistakes. LeBron said that after the game they were going to watch the tape and check out, make sure everything they can start correcting some of those errors that they made. The Golden State.
Did I lose you?
Convinced at this point that the team should definitely be attacking the rim as much as they possibly can at this point. Attacking that rim, you know, that's the best way to do it at that point. Just at this point in time, the Cavaliers can get to the basket, do what they have to do. Okay, Jackie is back with us. I apologize for whatever happened there. Jackie, the other thing, too, is, you know, Cleveland should be attacking Kane a little bit more at the Warriors. They don't have as much interior defense.
They don't have as much what? I'm sorry?
They don't have as much defensive presence in the middle. But they don't have anyone really protecting the rim at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I think Cleveland should be going at the basket a little bit more, not settling for as many jump shots as they've been taking. I don't know how you feel about that before we jump onto the Warriors side, but I want to get your take on that as far as Cleveland.
Well, I think a lot of everybody's shots lately seem to be in the outer banks. You know, a lot of people are not settling for the layup or, you know, the drive to the hoop unless it's a wide open one. You know, they're not trying to struggle underneath the hoop because, A, we've been seeing a lot of injuries happen as a result of that, and B, there's too much traffic, you know, and people are having a hard time getting it up. And they're not getting calls either. That's a major factor. They're not getting foul calls. So why would you want to struggle underneath the rim if you're just going to get the ball batted away and you're not going to get the foul call, which is what you probably went in there to try to achieve, at least in the minor sense of trying to get a point on the board. You know, if you're not going to get the basket, you want to try to get the free throws. So whatever the way the points come on the board, so be it. But that's why I think a lot of the shots that are being made are, you know, towards the outer perimeter, towards, you know, the 3-point line. At least, obviously, as far as Golden State's concerned, they're still hanging on with that theory in mind. I think at one point they were 3-for-15 last night, and I believe Cleveland had only taken about 8 3-point shots. I think they'd made about 3 or 4, but, you know, they'd only taken 8 versus 15. So you can see where the lopsided game is as far as the 3-point line is concerned, the discrepancies. But, you know, Iggy's doing a decent job. Draymond's doing terrible. I mean, I don't know what the hell is wrong with him. I charted him to be, you know, the next big thing. I thought he would come out and just blaze in this in the finals. And he has been timid. He's been nervous. He's been scared. He has been standoffish with, in every sense of the word. And it's like he's afraid to get up there and shoot. So, of course, he passes immediately. Busted his belly last night. I had no reason to pass other than just for the sake of shits and giggles passing. And he threw the ball away when he had a perfect opportunity to just try to lay one in or at least go for a foul. I mean, it was 2 feet from the basket. It was absurd. So, you know, I don't know what's going on as far as the under-the-basket thing is concerned, but I think a lot of it does have to do with the fact that no foul calls are being gotten. And Cleveland did shoot, I think, twice as many free throws as the Warriors did last night. So I think that they're trying to pull away from that that dynamic and go back to what they were good at. But the problem is they're double-teaming Steph, and Steph gets cold, and then the whole thing goes to shit. So it's hard to say what's going to, you know, be the deciding factor for putting points on the board from game to game. Every game is a different strategy.
Well, now, you know, to be honest with you, I just think that the Warriors are a bad matchup the Cleveland is just a bad matchup for the Warriors. And, you know, one thing about Golden State, too, and I've been a firm believer of this as well, at this point, you have nothing to I have nothing to lose by doubling LeBron and letting those other guys beat you at this point. That's my firm belief. I think right now they wouldn't lose anything by doing that.
Right. I agree.
Because if you want to let James Jones beat you, let James Jones beat you. If there's one guy on the Cleveland bench who I'm shocked has not made it up and made it into the game, I don't know what David Blatt's sort of waiting for. He has finals experience, and the way the pace of the game is going, he'd be effective, and he'd be very helpful defensively, Sean Marion.
I was actually noticing that, too. I went to college with Sean Marion. I've known him a very long time. And I was saying, at the very beginning of the game last night, I was sitting there with a couple of friends at the bar, and I looked at them and I said, Shawnee hasn't played at all, has he? Not at all. And in many, many games, not just the playoffs, or not just the finals, but for many, many games. So, you know, he could serve them quite well if he was given a little bit of time.
Yeah.
He's one of those old school guys like Ray Allen. He could go out there and score a lot of points and surprise some people.
Yeah, and I'm also surprised.
And he's a perimeter shooter, so.
And the same thing with Mike Miller. I think it's put in the right position type of guy that should be out there right now. I put him over than Amon. I know Amon defensively is a key, but there's points where, you know, Amon's not going to play much last night either. But it's very interesting to see where they go from here. Real quick, we got it because I'm against the clock here. Because we still take David Tyree, former New York Giant, joining us, as well as Tim Galligan from Giants360.com. This is Real Sports Talk Radio. Randy Zellia with the uncensored Jackie Taylor, as you heard before, her dropping all sorts of four-letter words before. Your prediction for the rest of the season, not for the season, for the rest of the series, I apologize. What do you see happening at this point?
Well, you know, like I said, they're going to have to change it up night in and night out before, you know, nobody's going to get kosher and copacetic with any one game plan. Every night is going to be a different story. I believe last night I was going to see Steph come on and just torch, you know, considering game two's performance and, you know, the way he just kept walking around like this was never going to happen again. I refuse to put myself in that situation or leave my team hanging like that. It's just not going to happen. And then it did come out and happen again. So I'd like to believe that, you know, game four is going to be different. And then, you know, we're going to be back to basically 0-0 and it's going to be the best of three from there on out. But, you know, I agree with what you're saying as far as stepping with some other people, a la Matt Miller, Sean Marion. In defense of Shumpy, who I love and I'm good friends with, Shumpy is more of a, I'll get my hands dirty for you. He's a young gun, and he'll go out there and he'll get rough and tough with it and you know, tumble on the floor like Deli. Whereas Mike Miller and Shawnee are more finesse players. They'll come out, they'll shoot their threes. They kind of, you know, they do their thing and they go away. They're, you know, they're not going to be out there for mass amounts of minutes. But they could be somebody that you stick in for, you know, temporary time to give the starters some time off, some bench time to get themselves cooled off a little from time to time. And I think that would serve Cleveland well, if I am so objected to say, even though I'm not a Cavaliers fan at all. But Golden State, you know, they're running out of options. They're using up everybody that they pretty much can. And what it's going to come down to is somebody having to get hot and stay hot, just like Clay did the other night. Unfortunately, Steph wasn't hot with him, but, you know, if the two of them get hot and it's Splash Brothers all over again, forget it. It's over. And the problem is it's going to have to be like that for the next three games straight beyond that. So, you know, I don't know what to predict, because this series is so blatantly unpredictable, night in and night out. But, you know, there is going to have to be some adjustments made, clearly. And I don't know if they're going to quit double teaming Steph because of the fact that he, you know, got cold, or maybe they see that as the reason he got cold and never came out of the slump. You know, only time will tell as to what the game plan is going to be when they step on the court. But I think that they're going to need a few more people to step up beyond just the Splash Brothers to do some things, the intangibles, as they say, to make this go, you know, an additional three games beyond game four.
Well, last question about this series, and then we're going to let you go. Real quick, Jackie, you want to let everybody know where they can find you if they want to more of your views on the series?
I'm so sorry. You were breaking up. I couldn't hear you.
Just let everybody know where they can find you.
Oh, okay. SheridanHoops.com, on Twitter, @ThatSportsBabe, and on Facebook, you can Facebook me, ThatSportsBabe, @gmail or @AOL.com. Email is ThatSportsBabe@AOL.com, because my Gmail is unfortunately full at the moment. And, you can pretty much reach me all those places. Instagram, ThatSportsBabe as well. You'll have pictures from Game 5. I'm sure I'll post those up when I'm there on Thursday, and or Sunday, Saturday, excuse me. And I think that's about it. SheridanHoops.com is our place of journalistic integrity.
Jackie, thanks for giving me a few minutes. This was very last minute, but I always appreciate you coming on and contributing and helping us out where we can. You and I will definitely be talking tomorrow night through Game 4. So we'll definitely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Randy. Okay.
No problem. Okay, now we go from the hardwood over to the gridiron. Before we go, Tim Galligan over from Giants360.com. I want to let you know that this part of the show is brought to you by 1-800-Flowers.com. Take advantage and take care of the woman you love or the partner that you love from 1-800-Flowers.com. Go there, click on the promotional page, go to Back Sports, get a couple dollars off, and, you help us out by keeping these podcasts free of charge on iTunes, BackSportsPage.com, and on BlogTalkRadio.com. 1-800-Flowers.com. Go there now, support us, and support the people that you love. All right, let's welcome in Tim Galligan from Giants360.com. Thanks very much for your patience, first of all. I really appreciate it. And let's talk a little Giants football. Tim, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, Randy. Thanks for having me. And 1-800-Flowers is the perfect segue if we're going to talk little Giants and Eric Flowers starting at left tackle for the Giants with the Will Beatty injury is the talk of the offseason so far for the Giants. I think it's going to be the big story going into training camp until we see how the offensive line looks.
Well, you know, it's funny with the Giants. Last year, I had the mentality. Now, I covered the team. I was at training camp. I was at games, go to the locker rooms before and after the game, after the game. And I'll tell you the general consent that I had going into the regular season, besides the offensive struggles, was that the team had to be perfect health and have everything going for them just to have a chance. Now, I feel that this offseason they made the right moves. The guys from last year who they bought in who got hurt are healthy. These guys are healthy now, and it feels like they added some depth to their team. That if people go down, it's more of the next man up mentality. Is that the general feeling that you have as well?
I think they do have some good depth, but I'm very concerned about the offensive line, specifically the right side. Right now, the lineup that they've been putting out, the first-team offensive line, they have John Jerry and Marshall Newhouse starting at right guard and right tackle. And John Jerry's run blocking, I cannot pick enough negative adjectives to describe what that looked like in 2014. He just could not run block. His pass blocking was all right, but a lot of the struggles with the run game were traced back to Jerry and the departed J.D. Walton. And Marshall Newhouse was let go by the Packers and the Bengals in free agency in back-to-back seasons. And NFL teams just don't let quality tackles walk out the door. So you know that there's buyer beware by bringing him in. As a backup, yes, I think an experienced tackle is a very good signing. But to have to bring him in and then start him makes me very wary about what they're putting out in the field.
You know, we spoke to David Tyree this past week, and we talked about...
I think so. I mean, they had some good receiving duos in the past. The first one that comes to mind are Amani Toomer and Ike Hilliard. And of course, they had Victor Cruz teamed up with in Indianapolis, Hakeem Nicks. And they've never had the depth that they have. They have... if Cruz is back healthy with Beckham, who I think could be one of the all-time greats if he stays healthy, they brought in Harris. They have don't forget about the Harris that they had, Marcus. Corey Washington is looking to be able to do it again. Reuben Randall, who looks to have broken out. I'm not sold on him, but he had some solid games down the stretch. If Corey Washington steps up and shows that he can do against first and second team cornerbacks, what he did against the third and fourth team cornerbacks in the preseason last year, it's going to be a fun battle to watch during the preseason. They have a lot of talent, and Marcus Harris was catching everything that was thrown his way last year until he got hurt. He was on track to be the third receiver coming out of training camp, and then Preston Parker took that role.
Talk about defense at this point. What is the defensive line looking like with Spagnuolo now back in charge of it? Is this going to be a revival, or is this the, I don't want to say the weak link of the team, because that's not really the right thing to say. Is this going to be the part that needs the most improving throughout the year?
Well, the thing to remember about Spagnuolo's go-around with the Giants is they gave up 80 points in their first two games. And then the players started to understand his scheme, the nuances, and they settled in and started on their long path to Super Bowl 42. And Spagnuolo himself, at his first press conference, wanted to urge caution in not expecting that things are just going to pick up where they left off in 2008 when the Giants were playing very good defense. He's trying out all the different parts, and he doesn't have his most important part, which is Jason Pierre-Paul. He's got a lot of building blocks in the defense. Jonathan Hankins looked great last year. They brought in Kenrick Ellis from the Jets, who I think was a terrific pickup. I was pushing for him all offseason. I think he's going to form that run-blocking line along with George Selby, who they brought in from Dallas. They have Cullen Jenkins, who's been terrific rushing the passer. But the key to the defensive line to me is Demontre Moore. If Spagnuolo can unlock the mystery that is Demontre Moore and tap his hidden potential, I think they could have a terrific defensive line. And that's what makes Spagnuolo's defenses go. The weakness on the defense is the linebackers. ESPN, Chris Westerling, named it the weakest unit, bar none, the weakest positional unit in the NFL. And I can't say that he's far off, especially if John Beeson doesn't remain healthy. The defense is a work in progress.
Looking at the team as a whole, if you're a Giants fan, finish filling the sentence. If you're a Giant, I'm a Giants fan, but the biggest part, my biggest concern with the team this year is?
Offensive line. The Will Beatty injury took what was a very promising unit and has now put a rookie at left tackle. They continued the move that they denied all offseason, moving Justin Pugh to guard, taking him out of the mix at tackle, and it put my worst nightmare back into the starting lineup, which is John Jerry. Jeff Schwartz is being held out. It doesn't look like the Canadian Brett Jones is quite ready for prime time, and they're starting their swing tackle at right tackle. So it's another patchwork line, and as we learned in 2013, as goes the offensive line, goes the offense. Up until the Beatty injury, I thought they had the potential to put up the record points for a Giant offense, which interestingly enough was set in 1963 under Ollie Sherman, 488 points, 32 points a game in a 14-game season, but it was still the most points scored by a Giant offense. I thought they were going to break that this year when they picked Eric Flowers. Now, unless they make a move, if Jake Long is healthy and they bring him in, I think it could derail the season and we could be looking at another 8-8 type of a year.
Can you tell the audience a little bit about
Giants360.com? Well, Giants360 is your home for all news Giants. We update as often as we can. We have a cartoonist, and we also have our Twitter feed, which brings you all the news live, and then you go to Giants360 for your analysis, bringing on some new writers. We're going to keep you current, get all your news there. You can also find my work on Fantasy Sports Warehouse. Have an article coming out, what we were just talking about on the defense. Everything that you want to know about who's who and the pieces that Spagnuolo is putting together, and that should be up tomorrow.
Awesome news. And one last question for you. To make sure everybody understands your potential as a Giant fan, how long have you been a Giant fan, and when did Giants 360 start, and the origin of all this?
Well, I've been a Giant fan. My first game that I went to when I was very small was the Joe Pisarcik fumble, that infamous game. I didn't have any idea what was going on, but our seats were in the end zone of the old Giant Stadium, and Herman Edwards ran right at me. That's the side that we were at. The place went dead quiet, and as we were walking out, I asked my father what happened, and he said, "Shut up and walk." And that was my introduction to Giants football. But then as I grew to understand the game, they drafted Phil Simms and Lawrence Taylor. And I became a big Giant fan during the glory years of the 80s. Giants 360, I joined them as a writer about a year ago. It's part of the Fans Turn Network. I have a lot of different team pages. And covered last season. It was my first season covering the Giants. And it's been growing ever since. Took over the Twitter account last August when I was in the press box for the first time. And it's been taken off, and I think it's the biggest community of Giant fans online. We try to talk Giants football every day on there. So if you're not following Giants360 on Twitter, you're missing out. So you definitely should jump on board.
I've probably run into you about 8 million times in the press box, and then you probably didn't even know it. That's probably the truth right there.
Probably, so we definitely have to say hello.
Yeah, what we'll do is we'll sit down and we'll BS while we're in the, I love, like, when you walk into that press room and they have the food there, and you almost hope it's like chicken finger day. It's a chicken finger.
Yeah.
Like, you just,
I like the cookies. I love having the cookies.
Like, you walk in there and you want those chocolate cookies, and then you see Russ Salzberg just sitting there the whole time, like, "Oh, did you want the last chocolate cookie?" And he takes it and he runs away. That's like pretty much how the norm there.
The Giants really do a great job taking care of the press. I've heard they're one of the best in the league, and I believe it. They roll out the red carpet, and it's really appreciated.
Yes, I appreciate it too. It's those chicken fingers. No, in all joking aside, no, you're right. They really do the best job taking care of the media. And I get 100 emails a day from them, which is letting me know what's going on. And they're awesome. They're awesome at what they do, and we really appreciate them giving back sports page and the access they do. And so, Tim, again, appreciate it very much. Thanks for coming on for a few minutes tonight. We're definitely looking to have you again. I'm flying solo tonight. Jose will be back next week. And then when we get closer to the season, we'll definitely check back in with you, and we'll talk more NFL.
Great. Thanks, Randy. Appreciate you having me on tonight.
My pleasure, man. Thanks for coming on.
Okay, take care.
Tim Galligan, Giants360.com. Check out the site now. It's an awesome fan site if you're a New York football Giant. Got all the news, everything you need there. Again, that was brought to you by 1-800-Flowers.com. Take care of your special someone by getting them something special from 1-800-Flowers.com. All right, special interview time. Interview is brought to you by NFLShop.com. Get all your preseason gear now. Get your get ready for training camp. Get Giants gear, Packers gear, Jets gear, everything you want. Get your favorite team. They have everything from jerseys, shirts, hats, novelty items, anything you need with your team's logo on it. Great interview with this past week. I hope everyone likes it. Talk a little bit about, you know, him being in the Giants organization. Talking with him as well about the catch. Everybody seems to love the catch. Check out the interview. Shoot me tweets, Randy BSD. We'll talk about it more next week with Jose. But this is earlier this week, I spoke with David Tyree, former New York Giant. Check it out.
All right, our guest this week is former New York Giant David Tyree. David, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be on with you.
Real quick, you know, this past Tuesday night, we were over in Lucky Strike Lanes in New York City for your annual bowling event for the children of the city. Can you talk to us how you got involved with this particular program and how long you've been working with them, just your involvement with them?
Yeah, you know, I think, the joyous part about my involvement with Children of the City is it really stems to the people. I've had a chance to know and be a part of Joyce Matera and Joseph Matera very intimately, and it was very easy to see that there were some unique elements to what Children of the City was doing in their jurisdiction in, you know, Sunset Park section of Brooklyn, New York. And just really hands-on, not just so much hands-on, but they were really, direct touch points as far as people-to-people, belly-to-belly in that community. That touched me profoundly. And probably back around 2006 has been, you know, the first time that I attended a gala and got a chance to see what they were doing. So it's been really impactful.
And your involvement with it is very, very hands-on. Just using the bowling event, for example, how long has the bowling event been going on, and where did you come up with the idea for it?
Oh, man, the bowling event is something, it started my bowling event probably around 2006, around the same time, but at the time, the Children of the City did not weren't the direct beneficiaries of it. I had my own foundation. So for the last 4 years, Children of the City has benefited from our foundation, and we may have taken a year or 2 years hiatus since it started in 2006. So it's been, fundraising, and, as a professional athlete or former athlete, you just have such a great platform. You want to use it for the right thing. I had my foundation at one point, and just was more than that we could handle for a little while. But I had been on the board of Children's City all the same time. So it just makes sense that we can keep the thing going, still have great presence in New York City, and impact the generations of children to break those cycles of poverty and education in that region of Brooklyn.
How does it feel to see some of your former teammates and current Giant players come out over the last couple of years really support your cause?
Yeah, it's been overwhelming, honestly, because there's so many different ways. You know, it's very easy to get disconnected, especially once you leave the locker room. I can't speak more about, you know, the uniqueness of what it is to have a career as a New York Giant. The immediate representation of once a Giant, always a Giant, and then that kind of lives on. And obviously I was fortunate to be a part of some special moments, and I'm sure that helps. But all the while I've had former players that I never got a chance to play with, and obviously it means something really special, even when you're able to be out of the locker room, you know, go back in there and those guys participate in something that they're really kind of disconnected with. But just by the strength of who you are as a former player, it's overwhelming. So that's one of the things where I'm really guarded, and I think it's a unique event in the amount of players that get a chance to come out and share their platform for something positive.
It's funny, you've been around the NFL, not just as a player, but you worked with the NFL as a whole. Can you talk about the family atmosphere that the Giants seem to have? You've seen other teams do other types of events, and of course teammates support each other. But it seems like the New York Giants are a real family type of organization, that everyone's very tight. Because you have players who, you know, who've been retired for quite a few years coming out and still supporting you in these events.
Yeah. We've had Carl Nelson. We've had, Carl Nelson's been pretty steady. We've had a couple other those guys from 86, 19 who have kind of just picked their heads in from year to year. Antonio Pierce, Bicycle Barrett. It's just been, it's the Wellington Mara, word that has kind of always resonated, once a Giant, always a Giant. And so, obviously, there's a tons of, guys, current and former, who have their causes, and, we just try to, we really just try to live up to support one another. Stephen Baker, one of those guys that's always around and present. So I'm just thankful to be a part of that, and, it's just really unique. The Giant is obviously a family-owned organization from ownership down. And as much as it's a business, they exude to care for their players, current and former, to the best of their capacity. And it's a point of emphasis, and I think it gets felt throughout, and we get a chance to see it in moments like this.
For those who don't know, you've made a transition now, and you're a part of the coaching group now with the Giants. Can you talk about what you've learned from a player perspective and a coaching perspective from Tom Coughlin?
Well, yeah, I kind of, for lack of better terms, I kind of view Tom as like a soft mentor when you, and I've never had, I've never really had major issues with Tom's approach to coaching, but as I've grown, obviously, in my own person and as an individual, you really come to admire and appreciate, because Tom is a guy who teaches off of timeless values and principles. The things that we all hear that, that might appear to be humdrum, but they work. And, he does have more of an authoritarian type of outset, but it's one of those things, if we can all submit to the process, you're going to get the best results, because everything is improving. And so, yes, he's progressed as a person, of course, along the way, which speaks to his own personal development. And so for me, being able to just work with Tom now and kind of softly invited into coaching staff and a director of player development, player engagement. I get a chance to work with these players. I get a chance to see them come in from and work with the rookies and help them to develop as men, help them to develop as professionals, and just assist them in any kind of way so that they can progress and optimize their experience, in the National Football League.
How do you think this, the behind-the-scenes aspect, not from the media side, but from the football operation side, how has it evolved now? Because obviously, they have the concussions, they monitor concussions a lot better. How has it changed over the last 5-6 years, where there's more concern with players' safety and also just the, like you just said, helping educate the players on not just the physical aspect, but the financial aspect and just the growth? How has it changed?
Yeah. I think, by and large, there were things that were being done, but I think the amount of exposure that those other areas are now in, the amount of exposure and attention that they receive from the media are, have grown exponentially when we're talking about, concussions, or we're talking about, just the impact that the game has on nation, on our entire, country, so to speak, the landscape, everything from health-wise, the Play 60 with the NFL initiative, to to the concussions, to to jobs, and the type of role models that these men become, the off-field issues. So as the game grows, so goes the exposure, and everything, things that weren't really important 10 years ago are front page news now. So, that's where the importance of education, as well as, just imparting the right understanding of how to handle some of these things that most young men just won't be ready for. So try to mitigate and mitigate what could be appear to be damages, where a lot of these things are just the lessons of life and some immaturity when it comes to guys from 21 to 22 years old making a major transition. So it's really important.
Let's talk about the team, the way it's coming along so far during the offseason this year. You know, Victor's recovering from season-ending surgery last year. Odell's going into second season. Ruben's coming back. Obviously, you're a little partial to the receivers, but at this sense, how has the Giants' offseason been so far? And what do you feel is the prediction for this team? From what you've seen so far?
Yeah, I mean, it's really strong. It's really positive. I mean, I think everybody's really confident and positive at this point about their team. So, I don't get much into predicting and paper champions, but, we're excited about the players that we have on our roster. And, there's a wide receiver room. It looks strong. It should be a major strength and asset to our offense. And I'm sure they're looking to, really build off of that first year experience with Ben McAdoo. So I think all those things are in place, and we're really just trying to continue to identify, who this team is, what our strengths will be, and to some extent, begin to cultivate those relationships so they can have a firm identity. We're in good shape for where we are right now in the spring.
Does Eli get too much criticism because he's not his brother? Like I've always felt that because Peyton is such a high level. Eli has had just as much success. Does he take a little unwanted criticism?
I'm sure it can be the case. People can't help but compare, and that goes all the way around. That really doesn't do anybody any kind of service when they take their eyes off the individual and begin to look toward another individual. But at the end of the day, I think he's 100% whole and kind of confident and content in who he is and who he's developed to be. He's a worker, so he's always aiming to mature and get better. And he doesn't make excuses. So that's the one thing you have to enjoy about, all the good, and indifferent qualities about Eli Manning. So we're excited, obviously excited as a franchise to have him
back. I'm here with David Tyree, former New York Giant, part of the Giants organization. David, a couple questions about you. Obviously the Super Bowl catch is well known as one of the greatest catches in Super Bowl history. How many times a week do you get approached about it?
It's nailed down, especially now that I get a chance to work, back with the team. Not making as many, outdoor appearances, but I get my fair share. But being local here in New Jersey, being from New Jersey, and having success here in New York City, I enjoy the stories behind where another individual was at the moment, what happened, all kinds of freak accidents that occurred, and people who got hurt during parties. I've been so many people's invisible wingman at night, so it's just some fun stuff, and I think that's what makes it special, the 17 year drought in New York, and being a guy who just wants to be a part of something significant and have the chance to make that catch and be a part of a historic moment in NFL history is really overwhelming, so I'm always really humbled by it.
And you've also, you also had one of the rare opportunities to, you were one of the first football guys at that point in time to do a book. What was that experience like? Can you talk about that process?
Yeah, that was actually pretty, it was fairly simple for me at the time. Obviously a wide array of resources that kind of opened up just because of the catch. And the person who uniquely, had really, and I kind of went the route of sharing my faith throughout my story, my personal story, my background, and why and how I got, to be to the place where I was, the guy who made this catch. The person who actually co-wrote the book with me, Kimberly Daniels, actually ended up, kind of was a big part of, my Super Bowl story and as it relates to the catch, because she actually shared about three or four things the night before the game that basically ended up coming to pass. Namely, she said, God's going to give you the big play. She said, the Lord's going to put doing some glue on your hands. God's going to give you the big play. And Chelsea said the Lord's going to quicken my feet, give me hind feet like a deer. So she shared some things the night before the Super Bowl that were really profound. And she had authored a couple books, so it just made sense that we were able to get the project done.
It was a very good book, and for those who want to read it, it is available through Amazon.com. I did check on that before we did this interview today. I also know that you're a sports fan, and this is going to be dropping on Wednesday. But are you watching the NBA Finals right now?
No, you know, I can't find the time, man. You know, some people know, most people don't. I'm a father of seven children.
Yes.
I get a chance to be a part of a great organization here with the Giants. So I got 90 guys running around that I just want to get to know and serve and be a part of their lives to some extent. And then I go home and I got my own crew. So the TV's, then I got a smoking hot wife that I like to spend time with. So TV doesn't work its way into my life, but I usually catch the, I might hit the ESPN app and see what's going on, scores and stuff like that.
Okay, and then so I guess what we'll do is we'll throw two more questions at you. One was asking who the biggest inspiration in your life has been.
Who the biggest inspiration? I would certainly say, obviously the easy answer is Jesus Christ. But as far as in the earth, I'm fortunate to have a man named Brian Echeverria that's really imparted deepness in my life as far as being a man, being a servant of God, and just being excellent everywhere that I am. So that's impacted me professionally. That's impacted me as a father. That's impacted every area of my life. That's kind of the person that really just been a major game changer as far as me growing as an individual and leading towards, me making a lot of decisions that I make day in and day out. So, not just a regular dude and I'm fortunate to have in my life.
And the other most important question, I guess, Giants fans want to know is, what is it like to be a Super Bowl champion?
What is it like to be a Super Bowl champion? That's a very good question. The only thing I can share that kind of makes sense out of that is the only word that I can really kind of summarize my experience with around the Super Bowl was awe. And it was kind of like, AWE, because you experience so many different emotions in such a short amount of time. And so you end up kind of awestruck, the reality that the confetti is ripping, a little confetti angel, family, which on the field. I had some other emotional elements that my mom passed away about a month and a half, months before the Super Bowl. So you just go through this wide array of, then the reality that just that, everything, from back to Pee Wee up to that moment. So awe is kind of the only way I can describe what it is to be a Super Bowl champion.
Former New York Giant David Tyree, the hero against Ball in the Helmet. Great interview. Thank you, David Tyree, for his time. Tim Galligan from Giants360.com joined us earlier. Don't forget to go to BackSportsPage.com, BlogTalkRadio.com, and iTunes. You can download all the BackSportsPage podcasts, Seth and Sean Show, Under the Hoodies, Real Sports Talk Radio, From the Touchline, Seattle, and Under the Hoodies. Check out all the episodes. We've had some great guests on. Check them out now. We'll see you in the next episode of Real Sports Talk Radio. Most likely dropping next week, not live from the studio. We'll be recording from our new studio at Connecticut School of Broadcasting. And I'll be joined by the one and only Jose Padilla. So thanks very much for downloading the latest episode. Really appreciate it. Thanks for taking the time. We'll see you next week for Ray DeGelia and the rest of the Sports Page crew.